Bibles, be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you find your place, we'll stand and reverence the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 9 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And I'm end off reading there, and going to be looking tonight at the manifestation of divine truth. The manifestation of divine truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the service tonight, letting us be together once again. Thank you for your people and, Lord, bringing us to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that we're together. And Lord, we thank you for the good service you gave us this morning. And Father, we pray that you'd bless us tonight and help us. Lord, I pray for the sick folks, Lord, in our church, or the ones that are not here, and or the ones that are here not feeling good. I just pray that you'd bless them and help them. And Lord, I pray that all of us would get exactly what we need from your word. Teach us more of yourself. Draw us nigh to thee. I pray for that one that may be lost tonight, Lord, that you'd do a work in that heart, Lord, they'd be saved before it's too late. Lord, may your will be done. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This chapter, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, really throughout the whole chapter, and it's not a very long chapter, but it's dealt with really a lot to do with man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. And in the first part of the chapter, if you remember, just kind of going back by way of review, just to refresh us a little bit, the Apostle Paul has rebuked the church for that team spirit that is in the church, and how, Lord, there's kind of been some fussing and fighting, things going on. There's some contention there because of that, the divisions, and they're dividing over things that just really don't matter, things that are silly and don't matter. And they're kind of, you know, contentious over who their favorite preacher is and things like that. And the Apostle Paul is rebuking them for that, that he would have them, you know, having all things together and common, and be of one mind and have no divisions and things like that. And to kind of emphasize that point, in chapter 2, the beginning, he begins to maybe kind of refresh them, emphasize them of how he handled his ministry when he was there. That he was never trying to be anyone's favorite preacher. He was never trying to build up a following. As a matter of fact, back in chapter 1, you probably remember, you know, he said, "I thank God I baptized none of you." He wasn't counting noses over baptizing. He wasn't interested in building up a following. He just simply came doing the will of the Father. And he never set out to be this great big-name preacher or anything like that. He was just trying to do the will of God. Now you say, what is that? How does that have anything to do with the man's wisdom versus the world's wisdom? Well, the world's or the man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Man's wisdom would say, well, that's not any way to live your life. You know, if you're not somebody, then you're not anybody. You know, if you're not trying to be something and trying to make something of yourself and trying to promote your name, then, you know, you'll really never have any success in life. But the truth is, the opposite is true in the things of God. You know, whatever happened to hiding yourself, you know? And I tell you, if we want to see God work and see things happen and see real success in all of our ministries, and all of us do have a ministry, we'd be better off hiding ourselves, getting in a prayer closet somewhere, talking to God, and letting God do whatever He's going to do through us. And it's a great day in your Christian life when you become satisfied with just doing the will of the Father. When you can pillow your head at night and you can sleep with the sweet consolation that I've done God's will, and that's enough for you. Amen? And that's a great day in your Christian life. And that's what Paul is reminding them of in the first part of chapter 2. of really how he had his ministry and the success that we see in his ministry. Now, the world sees the opposite. The world sees deficiency. But in the things of God, God sees success in the way Paul handled his ministry. Never trying to use fair speech or convince anyone, but just preaching the gospel and letting the Spirit of God do the work. Amen? And so that's kind of what we see. That's been the theme throughout this chapter. And of course, again, he talked about his ministry and he talked about his message. And neither one, neither his ministry nor the message he preached was through the wisdom of the world. It was all just the Word of God. Now here at the end, these verses get to dealing with divine truth and its manifestation. How God reveals divine truth to man. Now, we're going to find here in just a second, I want to get ahead of myself, but according to the Bible, man does not receive divine truth on his own. He cannot see divine truth on his own. He cannot understand divine truth on his own. And man today is trying to replace God's way with his own way to understand divine truth. Man wants to understand God. He's come up with all his own ideas for God, and people will come up with their own ideas and philosophies of God and who he is. And the man is using his mind to do that. Man is using his own faculties to do that. And the problem with that is that he'll never arrive at God's divine truth with his own mind, with his own faculties, with his own learning. God has got to do it. And that's what we're seeing here. These verses deal with how divine truth was revealed to mankind and how man understands it. If you want to have divine truth revealed, and if you want to understand more about God, know more of Him, you're going to have to go about it God's way. And it'll not happen any other way. I think about that hymn that we sing, more of Him, or more about Him, more about Jesus. Would I know more of His grace and love bestow. And I mean, I don't know. I can't remember all the words. It's a great song, though. But more about Jesus. We all ought to want to know more about Him and be better for Him. That's, you know, on the heels of what we preached this morning in 1 John of maturing and progressing. It's all about knowing more of Him and being more like Him. And God's going to have to help us with it, and especially with the gospel. Now, really what he's dealing with here is dealing with the gospel. Lost man doesn't receive the gospel by himself. He's got to have the help of the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's why I'm not for giving people sales pitches with the gospel. Amen. I'm for preaching the gospel and spreading the gospel and telling others and passing out tracts and all that stuff, but leading someone through a sales pitch and you know, asking them, do you want to go to heaven? Well, yeah. Well, do you not want to go to hell? No. Well, then pray this prayer and congratulations, you're saved. Listen, I'm not for that, because man is playing the mediator in that situation. Man is the go-between there. The soul, quote-unquote soul winner is making himself the mediator between God and man. He's going between God and man, asking man, well, do you want this, that, and the other? Okay, well, this is what God says. And well, listen, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. And so he has to do the work, preach the gospel, and tell folks they need to be saved, and pass out tracts and do all those things. But listen, giving somebody a sales pitch never saved anybody. Amen? God's got to do the work. And so let's look at the manifestation of divine truth for just a few minutes tonight. Now, there's two different things. I'm not going to get through all of this. I'm just going to deal with two points here throughout this text tonight. And bring out some things in this text, just what God says right here. Now, regarding the manifestation of divine truth, if you're going to have divine truth manifested to you, made known unto you, we need to see a few things. And the first thing we see is in verse 9, and that is that there is a missing of this manifestation. Look in verse 9, he says, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You know, the majority of the world misses divine truth. I've heard, you've heard probably too, Billy Mitchell say back when he was living, I heard him say several times talking about, you know, being at a meeting and this man there whose brother was going to be there. And talk about him wanting his brother to be saved and all those things. And he made this statement to Brother Mitchell. He said, "Now my brother's been in church and he's heard the gospel a lot of times." And Brother Mitchell's response was this: "You don't know that. You don't know that. He may have been under gospel preaching many times, but never heard the gospel, just heard the preacher." It takes the Holy Ghost to allow a man to hear the gospel and to hear divine truth. That's what he said, isn't it? It's written that "I have not seen nor ear heard." Listen, you can hear all the preaching you want to hear, but never hear divine truth. Amen. You can be in and among and see a lot of spiritual things go on and be exposed to a lot of spiritual things, but never really see divine truth. Amen. I think I mentioned this not long ago. I was thinking a while back about that young man there with Elijah whenever that army was encamped around them and they were about to die as far as they were concerned. And he had that young servant with him. And that young servant, little boy, he saw all those armies and all those chariots and all those things. And he was right in the middle of serving the man of God. He was doing all he knew to do, doing what was right, serving God's man, doing what he was supposed to do. But he only saw one thing. He was serving, but he wasn't seeing. You know, you can serve and not see. As a matter of fact, that's what I think has happened to this generation. There, a lot of young people, they're raised up in churches like this, and they serve, and they do what they're supposed to do, but they never see. And that's what that young man was doing. He was serving, but he was not seeing. And when the man of God prayed, God allow him to see some things. Finally, his eyes were open to divine truth. What was the divine truth in that situation? The divine truth was this, that there are more with us than there are of them. Amen? And listen, God's got to help you to see those things, but you'll never see them on your own. On your own. Amen? And that's what happens whenever we doubt and we get discouraged and we get our eyes on our problems and we let our problems consume us. The problem is we've quit seeing. We're only seeing the physical, what is at hand. But whenever God and the Holy Spirit allows us to truly see, we'll always see through Him that there's more of us than there are of them. No matter how big the problem, how high the mountain, God can move a mountain and God can fix a problem and God is in control. And it takes the Holy Spirit to show us that. Isn't that right? And the sad thing is that the majority of the world misses it. They miss it. They miss divine truth. Now, you ask the question, well, what is it that is missed? He says, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's what they miss. Those things there, that word things. He's speaking primarily of the gospel there. Understand that. He's talking primarily about the gospel. Now, it certainly also speaks of the things to come, the glories to come, and the glories of heaven, and all, you know, all sorts of divine truth. But primarily, the message that is being spoken here is regarding the gospel. And certainly, the majority of the world misses that. They miss the gospel. They don't see it and understand it because God has got to help them. So really what is missed is the understanding of the gospel message. That's our greatest problem today, is that people are missing the gospel message. That's why they're not getting saved, because they're missing the gospel message. And it's a sad truth, is that that's the worst thing in life you could ever miss. Isn't it sad how much understanding humanity has now? This explosion of knowledge that really was talked about in the book of Daniel. Go back to the prophecies of Daniel. He talks about in the last days the explosion of knowledge. And boy, we are seeing that. We're seeing just an explosion of knowledge and technology. And man knows so much. And yet at the end of the day, he really knows nothing. Ever learning. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because divine truth is missed. And so that's what is missed. But let's look at where it is missed. He doesn't just show us what's missed by people, but he shows us where it's missed. He says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man." That word heart there, when he says the heart of man, he's talking about man's mind. He's talking about the place in man where true understanding is. He's not talking about the heart, the physical heart, and he's not talking about the seat of the emotions. Many times the heart is referred to as the seat of the emotions. You feel something in your heart, you know, and you know, all that romance gets you right in the heart. All that lovey-dovey gets you right in the heart. It feels just so special, you know, and that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the heart, the inner sanctum of man. Understanding is where man's mind is, and he understands and wraps his mind around things. And what he is saying here is that the gospel is not discerned just by the human eye or the human ear or even the human mind. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. So man, the gospel is not discerned by what you see. It's not discerned just by what you hear. And it's not even understand by what goes on in your mind, by receiving it into your mind and thinking and logically working your way to it. That's why a lot of people, you know, you can preach the gospel. You can preach something like Calvary and people can know and understand all the facts of it. Listen, there's a lot of people that are lost and on their road to hell. And they know every fact there is to know about the gospel. They know Jesus was virgin born. They know he lived a spotless, sinless life. They know he died at Calvary. They know he was buried. They know he was rose again the third day. They know he ascended back to heaven. They know he's coming again. They know that. They believe all that from the side of facts. They know the logic of it. They have been taught it and they believe it. But you preach it and you talk about it, and it doesn't mean one thing to them. It doesn't resonate in any way. It doesn't do anything for them because they just know the facts. There are a lot of people believe Jesus is God. They believe, you know, he's the Savior. They believe there's one God. They believe all that. As a matter of fact, the devils believe all that. The devils, they believe and they tremble at all that. James said, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Listen, it's a good thing to believe there's one God. He said, the devils also believe and tremble. There's a lot of people believe the facts, but the gospel message and really the whole of divine truth is not discerned with just man's eye and just man's ear and just man's mind. Rather, it requires the illumination of the Holy Spirit. God has got to do it for man. One man said the human mind cannot penetrate into the counsels of God. His purpose can only be known by a supernatural revelation. And I believe that to be true with all my heart, neighbor. I believe God has got to do a work in us, or it won't be done. That's right. And now I believe this. You say, Brother Jacob, you're getting close to Calvinism. Absolutely not. Because I believe that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, just like the Bible says. That's still in your King James Bible. God is reaching out to man and doing something in man. But I tell you one thing, if man rejects God long enough, God will quit reaching out. And if God ever quits reaching out, man is gone, world without end. Amen. He's the living dead. He's walking dead. His eternity is sealed. Because, listen, thanks be unto God, He has reached out to us. The connection should be lost, but God has reached out to us and done something and called out to us and done for us that which we could not do ourselves. Human reasoning can't do it. Now, what we're finding in our day and what's happened in years gone by is that many are trying to use the mind to do what only the Spirit can do. I heard just the other day somebody made this statement and I thought it was very true. They said a lot of preachers now are trying to do with degrees what can only be done with a touch. When you take them old mountain preachers and them old timers from years gone by, a lot of them men could not even read and write. But they preached with a touch, and people got saved, and God moved, and God used them, and they had no formal education. I mean, you know, they were. It's just like the disciples. You know, they were ignorant, and unlearned men, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. Amen? And a lot of people have not been with Jesus, but they're trying to use degrees and learning and understanding and all those things to replace what only the Spirit can do. But you'll never replace what the Spirit can do with anything else. The Spirit has to do it. Amen? Amen. That's why I think it is high gear foolishness when all these churches turned to receiving, you know, resumes and wanting to know about the degrees of this man and where he went to college and all those things. Listen, that's high gear foolishness, because a degree does not make a man of God. Amen? I've got one. Thank God for it. And listen, I don't take anything away from education, learning. You got to get all you can get. But that does not replace the touch of God. Amen? That does not replace the Spirit of God. And I'd rather have an old-time country preacher that's never set foot in a university anywhere, but he knows God and he walks with God and he knows the Word of God and he preaches the truths of the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit, than I would take all the degrees that this world has to offer. Wouldn't you? Because thank God the Spirit of God has to do it. Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've been around some that what they're saying is mostly right, and it sounds good, it sounds right, but it's just missing a touch. And I tell you, I've sat in enough meetings where there's been enough outlines preached and enough sermons preached, but there was never any message. Amen. And that's what we need, is a message. And the Spirit is what gives us the message. Amen. And it's not just them preaching either. I tell you, that message will come through that book. If you'll sit down and you'll read that book and you'll look for God and you'll ask God to show you and you'll approach it with an open heart, God will fill it. Amen. If you'll open wide your mouth, God will fill it. And He'll do it through that Word. Amen. That's why it's the sword of the Spirit. Spirit. The Spirit is what does it. And so there is a missing of the manifestation. Listen. If you're going to pursue anything in life, if you're going to miss anything in life, don't let it be divine truth. Devote yourself to divine truth. Listen, approach God and seek after God. Because, listen, if you miss anything, this is the worst thing you could ever miss. This is the worst thing the world could ever miss. And again, I know he's talking about the gospel, but it applies to us too. Amen? Don't miss divine truth. Number two, the next few verses, we begin to see the means of the manifestation of divine truth. Not just the missing of it, that people are missing it, but the means. How is it manifested? How can you know divine truth? How can the lost world know divine truth? You know, this is so important for us to know as God's people, because we want to know how the world can know. We want to reach them, and we want to know how they can be reached. And I tell you, you can read a lot of soul-winning books, and you can go to a lot of soul-winning seminars, but listen, if you want to know how divine truth really will be revealed to the lost world, you ought to just get in your Bible. Amen? This is the perfect handbook. Amen? If you want to see souls saved, you want to be the best soul winner you can be, you need to know how God reveals divine truth to man. So that makes sure you're doing it right the right way. Isn't that right? The means of the manifestation. The first one is dealt with in verse 10. And we find that there's a revealing by the Spirit. He says in verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." The things he's talking about is talking about the divine truths. He's talking about in verse 9. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So the Holy Spirit does the revealing of divine truth to mankind. You and I, with our best efforts, cannot do it. And we want to give our best effort. Don't get me wrong. We want to do our very best to present a clear presentation of the gospel, make it clear to man, and reason with man. Come, let us reason together, you know, and you know, put it out and put out the truth and doing our best. But at the end of the day, with our best efforts, we still can't reveal it to the heart of man. We can't do it. God has got to take that truth. Now, it's important that we give it. It's important that we preach it and that we teach it and that we do everything we can to try to reach the lost. But at the end of the day, God is the one who reveals it. That's what He said. God hath revealed them, talking about those divine truths, unto us, and He did it by the Spirit. So there's a revealing by the Spirit, but then there is researching by the Spirit. You say, what are you talking about? Look in verse 10. Verse 10 again, he says, "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." It's an interesting verse there, isn't it? See, it takes, you think about research. I use that researching by the Spirit. It takes research to know anything. I mean, anything that, you know, we want to know, we research. We go to YouTube, right? That's what we do now. You went to the library, you know, and you got you a book on it. Now you just go to YouTube, right? Go to Google. And, you giggle it, you know. Get on the internet machine and figure out we're in the information age. And just about anything you want to know how to do, I mean, you can just about figure out how to do it. But it takes research. You have to search out things and find out the truth of things and figure out what's going on and how it all works. Well, you know, the same is true in spiritual things. The same is true. There's research that is done to find truth. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who can reveal divine truth because He is the one that can search the mind of God. That's what he said in those verses. Now, he used an illustration there, and he illustrates that point by using the spirit of man. He asks the question, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" He's using an illustration. In other words, he's saying, you know, who really knows what's in the heart of man, what's in the spirit of man, than that man? You know, at the end of the day, you can say what you want, you can do what you want, but at the end of the day, you know and God knows what's really in your heart. You know. You can dress up a lot of things on the outside, and you can, you know, you can put on an act and a lot of things, do, you know, on the outside. And generally what's on the inside of man tends to manifest itself on the outside at some point. But listen, you can put on the biggest facade and all the makeup and everything you want and the biggest costume you want. But at the end of the day, you know what is in your heart. You know. You know and God knows. And that's the point he's making. That who really knows what's in the heart of man but man? And he's illustrating that because who really knows what's in the heart of God but God? He's drawing that comparison there. And so, man knows what's in the heart of man. God knows what's in the Spirit of God. Thus, only the Holy Spirit knows what's in the mind of God because the Holy Spirit is God. Isn't that right? The Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, He is the one to reveal divine truth to us. Because He is the one who searches the heart of God, finds the divine truth, and that finds the revelation, and then brings it to us. Listen, again, I say this all the time, but it's still true. You are living in the greatest spiritual day that anyone could ever live in. I mean, it would have been wonderful to have sat at the feet of Jesus and to heard Him preach and to heard Him speak. But listen, we have the Holy Spirit who's just as God as Jesus is, on the inside of us, and He's searching the Spirit of the Father and searching out the truths of the Father and bringing them to your heart and to my heart that they might be understood by us. I think I said this a long ago. Listen, there are things that we know and we understand, those of us that are saved, things that angels even would love to look into, things that angels would even love to know, but they do not know, things most of this world does not know and does not understand. And it's revealed to us by the Spirit of God because He is God. He is God. And so there's a researching by the Spirit. And then last of all, there's a receiving of the Spirit. Again, in verse 12, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Hey, thank God that a believer receives the Spirit when he is saved. Amen. Man, woman, boy, or girl, literally, we sing that song about being in a new world. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. You can't help but be saved and be in a new world. I tell you, I think about Sister Beth back there. Lord just got saved, and odds are what's going on in the inside of her, such exciting things. I remember when I first got saved and how exciting those days were. Now, I wouldn't trade these days for those by any means. Listen, thank the Lord for how far He's brought all of us. But boy, you can certainly look back on the early days of your salvation with fond memories, can't you? And if you've been truly saved, you will, I believe. Because there's such exciting times, and they're youthful times spiritually where you're seeing so many new things that you never saw before. Because the Holy Spirit, for the first time, has indwelt your life and invaded your life and enlightening you to things that you never saw before. Man receives Christ as Savior and the Holy Spirit enters in. Therefore, he is illuminated with divine truth that he never saw before. Now, what's all this mean? What's all this come down to? It comes down to this, that if you or anyone wants to know the things of God, the things that matter in life, the things that matter in eternity, if you want to know, it starts, for the lost person, it starts with receiving Jesus. Amen. You know, there are so many things that I didn't understand about God, didn't know about God whenever I got saved. But I did know this. I knew that I needed Jesus. I knew that I needed Him. And you know, that's enough. That's enough. That's all it takes. The Holy Spirit can take that simple divine truth. Now again, the mind of man knowing that isn't enough. But the Holy Spirit taking that one simple divine truth and a man from his heart receiving that, the Holy Spirit of God will drive that divine truth so deep into his heart, make it so real to him. The goodness of God will lead him to repentance, and God will grant him repentance, and he'll be saved and put his faith in Christ and all those things. By receiving that truth, embracing that truth, and then from that point forward, he receives the Holy Spirit, and God begins to show him all other sorts of divine truths. But it all starts with that one. You know, it still applies to us who are saved, though, too. If you want to continue to know more of God and draw nigh to him and mature like we talked about, just like that maturity that we talked about this morning, maturity is what? Do you remember? In one word, what is mature? Spiritual maturity. Christ-likeness. Being like Christ. And if we're going to know more, know Him more, be more like Him, you know what it's going to require? Being more Christ-like. Drawing nigh to Him. Because it happens through the Holy Spirit. But see, He's the one who brings all that together. He's the mediator of it all. Is Christ. And so, the manifestation of divine truth. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, and I thank you for your word and for helping us with it. I pray, Lord, that you would drive these truths into our heart, and Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to seek truth even more, Lord, in these days. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Father, to be the soul winners that you'd have us to be, Lord. Lord, doing what we can to make divine truth available, Lord, to the lost world around us. Father, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. I pray that you would help us to, Lord, respond in a way that you have us to respond. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.